Welcome to another edition of Children of Song, the podcast that explores what it must have been like to grow up surrounded by music. For those who might be joining us for the first time, we're speaking, of course, with musicians whose parents made it big in the music industry, or those artists who started playing and making music when they were still very young. For these young, talented artists, making music is often as natural as breathing. Today's guests fit in that second category. They were both exposed to music when they were toddlers and showed an affinity for the craft that is clearly seen in the beautiful harmonies they display in their music today. We'll learn how this duo met. We'll hear about how and when they started making and writing music together. They're a team definitely starting to get noticed and a band on the rise. We'll find out a little bit more about them in a moment. But first, I'm Brad Newman, the producer of this series, and today I'll be doing a little double duty, taking on the hosting chores for what should be a very interesting episode, one filled with some pain and sacrifice and a ton of live music. We're bringing this to you from our podcast studios in Midtown Manhattan. Rick Buser is our engineer. So today in the studio with me, we have two up-and-coming musicians that grew up in the same town, Waxahachie, Texas. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Waxahachie.
There you go. It's a little town just south of Dallas. Their grandparents went to high school together. Their parents double-dated when they first got married. And these two have wound up tethered together in a band that some have described as country with a rock and roll edge. Their new single, Hey Whiskey, from their self-titled first album is causing a stir on satellite radio, where the ballad is getting considerable airtime. Known for their easy harmonies, we want to welcome Smithfield, Trey Smith, and Jennifer Fiedler to the podcast.
Hello, Brad, for having us. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, so you obviously took your last names to form this band, and it is Fiedler. Am I saying that correctly?
Well, so my whole life, it's spelled Fiedler, but everybody's always said Jennifer Fiedler. So that's where Smithfield comes from, is Trey Smith. Jennifer mm-hmm. Fiedler is what I go by.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, see, I noticed when I was doing research, I have never read so many articles where your name is being spelled and butchered.
Yeah. As it goes. All the time.
And they mix you guys up, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll use your name and describe you as a her and vice versa. Like, it is crazy.
Totally. Yeah. We get like, you're Trey Smithfield, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got that out of the way. Let's talk about your individual music influences growing up, because, you know, you were friends.
Yeah.
You guys have known each other forever.
Yeah.
And how did you first meet? Is it true that a cousin tried to maybe set you up?
It's very true. Our families did New Year's Eve parties and 4th of July parties every year. And so when I was 10 and Trey was 12, his cousin tried to get us to kiss at midnight when we were little kids. But Trey chickened out, and it never happened.
It's not true, actually.
Yeah.
My dad kind of like, at midnight, he was like, hey, hold on there, lover boy.
Like, slowed you down.
Put his hand on my shoulder, and I was like, man, dad.
Yeah. But that's how we both remember first meeting as kids.
That's so sweet. But you had some strong, both of you had very different music influences. Let's start with you, Jennifer. Tell me a little bit about how you got introduced to music and what kinds of things you were doing at such a young age.
Yeah, my family always took me to country music shows in Texas. And in every small town, we have like the Waxahachie Opry, the Red Oak Opry, the Dallas Opry. And so that's what we would do as a family on the weekends, was go see these shows. And I remember being 9 years old, going to Johnny High's Country Music Review in Arlington, mm-hmm. Texas, where Leanne Rimes grew up singing. And I saw her as a little girl. And I just remember telling my mom, like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. You know, and so when I was old enough to audition for that show, Leanne Rimes' godmother was my judge to be on it, and they chose me, and I sang on that show from the age of 9 till I was like 20. I sang on it my whole life, and that's what I grew up doing.
Wow. Give us a sense of the kind of covers that you might have done back then. Give us a little taste.
All right.
A little taste.
Trey, you want to help me out?
I think I know which one.
Little Patsy Cline, still maybe? Patsy. I know that she was an idol of yours.
She, this song actually was the first song I ever sang on stage. It's called Crazy. Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. And I knew that you loved me as long as you wanted. Someday you leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the world. For thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Wow. Such a pure tone.
Thank you.
You really sound great on that.
Thank you.
Mm. So, Trey, you couldn't have been more different. Here she is, 9 years old. She's out there, you know, singing her heart out in front of all these audience. What are you doing around this time?
I'm up in my bedroom with my door closed and hoping nobody hears me. But, yeah, I was kind of a closet singer for a long time.
And do you think that was because, you know, you were just embarrassed? You weren't, because you've got a, I mean, we're going to hear folks in a second, an amazing voice as well. What do you think made you shy or embarrassed about?
I don't know. I was always kind of a shy, like, quieter kid. And just kind of introverted person. So I just stayed up in my room, and I was kind of afraid to let anybody hear me because I was afraid it wasn't good. Because I feel like you can think you're really good, and your parents can tell you you're really good. Mm. But until somebody else tells you you're really good, you have the secret fear that you're going to put it out there and they're going to shoot it down. So that was just kind of my childhood.
So you're up there, you're doing some Goo Goo Dolls up there, right?
Yeah, that was my jam. Late 90s Goo Goo Dolls. I still want to meet Johnny Resnick one day. He's like the guy that inspired me to start writing music. So,
all right, let's hear a little.
Ooh, okay. I haven't done this in a long time, so you gotta excuse me here, but... Could you whisper in my ear the things you wanna feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? You wonder where you are and live with all your faults? I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so why don't you slide? Yeah, slide. Yeah, I knew anything you ever dreamed to be complete. Little pieces of nothing that fall. Oh, man, put your arms around me. What you feel is what you are is beautiful, oh man. You say you wanna get married, but run away.
It's neat. It's nice watching you watch him sing that song that he would have. Is it kind of fun to hear what each other was playing way back then?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's cool to see our influences and what inspired us, and now we come together and bring what we both love into the table of Smithfield, you know? It's really cool.
So, you know, let's go a little farther down the story here. You know, your families are really tight, but then your family moves away, Trey. You guys move down to Houston, which, for people who don't know, is like a couple hours away from Dallas, right? 3 hours away?
That's
a little farther?
Yeah, about three and a half.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, you kind of drift apart a little bit. You end up going to college. You're in an alt-rock band, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. And what happens?
So Trey's cousin, when they moved off to Houston, instead of going to their family Thanksgiving, they come to my house. And I was sitting at the Thanksgiving table, and Emily says to me, "Well, Jennifer, I think you and Trey would sound so good together. I've watched y'all grow up singing, you know, your whole lives, and I think that y'all should try and be a duo." And to be nice, you know, because he's a family friend, I was like, "Okay, sure, tell him to reach out to me." And he reaches out to me on Facebook, and I'm like, "Crap, now I really can't say no." Like, he's reaching out. If I say no, I'm going to hear about it from our grandparents or somebody, and the family's going to say something. So I have him over to my college apartment, and he comes over, and we sing a Keith Urban song together. And I remember this day because I got chills up my arms when I heard how our voices blended together in our harmonies. And that's what makes us really special and unique. We're great separately. I mean, take that back. We're good separately. We're great together. That's what makes us so special. And I knew that very first day.
What was your take on this whole thing? I mean, you know, you really are putting yourself out there. I mean, I had friends growing up that had bands, and you know, it's hard to break up. And it's also when it's hard when you do break up with a band, from the small knowledge I know of it, you usually don't want to put yourself out there, you know, pretty soon. You're kind of licking your wounds for a while.
Absolutely. I don't know. For me, it was kind of the same thing right off the bat. I mean, I'm a sucker for good harmonies. I love harmony. And so when we started singing together that day and figured out all the different ways we could blend our voices, I was kind of giddy for a little bit there and just excited about it. And I knew it was something we needed to pursue.
Let's hear a little bit of that song. Take us back to that moment. Sing that Keith Urban song for us.
Ooh, first song Smithfield ever sang.
Let's see. Bringing us back here. I got no money in my pockets. I got a hole in my jeans. I had a job and I lost it, but it won't get to me. 'Cause I'm riding with my baby, and it's a brand new day. We're on the wheels of an angel, flying away.
And the sun is shining, and this road keeps winding through the prettiest country from Georgia to Tennessee. Got the one I love beside me, my troubles behind me. I'm alive and I'm free. Who wouldn't want to be me?
Why? You sound amazing.
Thank you.
So give us a little insight. Let's lift the veil a little bit on this harmony. Let's talk harmony a little bit. I mean, is it something that you can learn? Is it like comedy? Is it something that's innate and something you can't teach?
Well, this is what's cool. It's pretty innate for Trey. Like, he just naturally can hear any harmony on any song. For me, it was a lot more difficult growing up singing solo. I never had to think about, you know, harmonizing with somebody else. So I remember the first time we sang together, I was like, I don't know harmony. I can't harmonize.
Well, it was funny. She would know the harmony on songs that she knew. So, like, we tried to sing in a Lady Antebellum song, and since once that she had heard so many times, she already knew the harmony part. But it's just because she had heard the song so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I can hear it naturally on some songs, but on others, I have to learn them. And once I learn them and I know them, I got it.
We had Sarah Evans on, and she was describing it as sort of birds that in flight that kind of surround each other and kind of know exactly where the other one's going.
Oh.
And she sings with her sister, and it was something. Can you give us another maybe quick example of just some harmony? And because the other special quality that you have is blending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really does. It is hard. I mean, obviously, to, you know, a man and a female, you can kind of figure out what's going on there. But it's still, it really is beautifully mixed.
Thank you. We kind of cancel out each other's weaknesses. Because if you hear Trey's voice, it's more raspy and very strong. It's got a very strong, loud presence. Mine is more soft, but I have... he describes it as
tone.
Yeah, like what you just said. So when you hear us together, he kind of makes, you know, me more strong, and I kind of make his tone
better. We're playing fill in the blank today.
Yeah, thanks.
So can you give me another example of maybe some harmony that we can hear real quick that really shows off, you know, how you do it and what makes you special?
Yeah. What do you want to do?
I don't know, Trey. Surprise me. See.
Surprise you.
You want to just go for it?
Let's just go for it.
I'm a dead man walking here. That's the least of all my fears. Ooh, underneath the water. It's not Alabama clay gives my trembling hands away. Ooh, please forgive me, Father. Ain't going down to Barton Hollow. Devil gonna follow me where I go. Won't do me no good washing in the river. Can't no preacher man save my soul. Oh, 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 oh.
Amazing. So obviously you knew you had something special, and 5 years ago you moved to Nashville, which was a huge step. And you're not the only ones that kind of get that idea on a regular basis. I love the town, and we've been there a lot with the series here. I think at one point last summer, somebody told me there were 120 people that move there every single day. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're not all musicians.
Hopefully not.
But you begin to figure out who you are as a duo. You know, you just shared one of the early songs that you did, but it's a real community there. Talk about this songwriting community there and the kind of, you know, what do you do when you're an artist from Texas landing in Nashville for the first time and you're one of thousands that, you know, want to do this for a living?
Yeah.
I think we still have a picture of us standing on the back of our U-Haul. I believe. So we shared a U-Haul to move to Nashville and, you know, had the dads driving and stuff and all that kind of thing. And just pulling up that day, just, you know, going over that hill and seeing Nashville and stuff. I don't know. You kind of have this moment of like, wow, we're really doing this. Like, we have all our stuff. We're here until it either works or it doesn't. And very humbling experience. I think my crazy moment was leaving my parents at the airport. And I know that sounds weird, but like, when they got out and left for the first time in my mind, I thought, wow, you know, because up until then it could be vacation or something. Like, the family's there, you're having fun. But when they left and took off, I was like, I'm here. And it's either going to work or it's not. And I'm kind of putting all, you know, betting all my chips on this. So it's a very scary yet humbling experience knowing that you're there.
Yeah, to answer your question, though, about the songwriting community and kind of where we started once we did get there, co-writing. Trey and I, you know, wrote together, just me and him, for a year before we moved. And we would make trips for a year back and forth writing and kind of getting our feet wet in the Nashville scene. But that's really where we started when we first got there. And that's kind of how we found who we are as artists and what we wanted to say. And, you know, we moved there when we were babies. So I feel like we kind of grew up in Nashville a little bit and found our sound through songwriting. And I'm credit that to the community there. in Nashville. The songwriting community is really, really special.
Yeah. And for people who don't know at home, and I think we've alluded this on the series many times, but let's walk people through at home and give them a sense of what this is like. Now, this is how I understand it, so, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. You literally can have a session with someone either in the morning or the afternoon, and you drop by their house or their studio, and you may have a few things planned or, you know, phrasing or a lick, and you sit there for 4 hours and you write a song.
Wow. Well, you explained it pretty spot on.
That's essentially it, yeah. I like to come up with a title a lot of times, or just the thought, and if I can, some kind of little, you know, riff or whatever on the guitar. And you always want to be as prepared as possible, just like any job. You know, you want to come in prepared and just sit down and kind of catch up a little bit. And sometimes this song is born out of stories, even just coming in and talking about your day or what you've been doing lately. And it's kind of different every time, and depending on the co-writer, it takes on a different life. But, I mean, you walk in and spill your soul out. But.
And what about, and do you have to pay? Is this something, and I mean, how do you get involved in this? Like, or is it all like, you know, on the hopes of in the next 4 hours, we're going to write an amazing song together and we'll profit that way?
Yeah, I mean, you don't, that's the thing. If you're in it to make money, that's definitely not.
At least not quick money.
Not quick money, for sure, yeah. I mean, we met a lot of people through doing writer's rounds in Nashville. That's kind of how we met our friends. That's how we met a lot of co-writers. And then along the way, Trey and I were very fortunate to meet a booking agent at William Morris Endeavor, which is like the largest booking agency in the world. And he kind of took us on as a he mentored us for a while and introduced us to a lot of publishers. And so those publishers would have us in, and Trey and I would play our songs that we had written and even cover songs at the time. And they would go, okay, well, I have so-and-so and so-and-so on my roster. I think you guys might write something great together. And then they would set us up on co-writes. And so that's kind of how we immersed ourselves in the community. But just being out at different shows and mingling, and but also through publishing companies as well.
Yeah. So to support yourself during this time, you know, you got to take on part-time jobs.
Oh yeah,
we've
done a many of that.
Yeah, give us a sense of that, of the struggling artist, of what it takes to really test your will and resolve to stay in this.
Yeah, you know, we could have gone there and worked full-time jobs, but then you don't have the time you need to devote to music. So, you know, your window is to the part-time jobs. And so my first job was I worked in a gym making smoothies. And I actually used to make Jake Owen smoothies like every morning when he was in town. He'd get off his bus and him and his wife would come in there, and I would make my smoothie and be like, well, I'm in music too, you know, and
sure you are.
Yeah, and I cleaned bathrooms and worked a lot of front desk jobs. And we got a record deal early on, which we can talk about later. But after our label had folded, I went back to working part-time jobs, and I worked for Postmates. Have you ever heard of that?
Well, so I actually got her into Postmates. I've been working it for a few months, and she was like, I just can't do the front desk thing anymore. What do you do? And I was like, you can start doing Postmates if you want to. It pays pretty good. It's on your schedule. But she would make me ride along with her at night. Because she was afraid to do it by herself. So,
you know, what is Postmates?
It's basically Uber for food.
Yeah.
So it's a food delivery
service.
It's a good
way to describe it.
And it's all through your app. So we'd be writing songs in the afternoon, and I'd go work a dinner shift. Or I would work that morning and then go to the right. And Trey did the same thing. We did that for a long time.
But then, you know, all this hard work kind of pays off. And a few special songs start to creep up on you, and people start, you know, taking notice. Give us a sense of one of those first special songs.
Yeah. I think it's probably, we wrote this song right before we started working on our first record on our old record label. And it was kind of one of those first songs that we were like, hey, that sounds like a cool direction for us. Like, we should follow that. So, I mean, the best way I can say it is it's about skinny dipping. Like, we'll just go ahead and throw it out there. It's called Nothing But the Night. Go. got this guitar and a damn good bottle of whiskey. You got that sexy way about you, girl, it gets me
thinking about taking you out,
watching you shine at the midnight moon,
dancing around to a six-string sound,
driving me crazy with the way you move.
So come on, let's get gone. The stars are falling, don't you hear me calling? Your kiss, your lips turn me on like a firefly lighting up a July sky. Let's up on there where the river bends. I wanna feel you on my skin. We'll find a little spot where the water's right, and we can creep on in where nothing but the night. Creep on in where nothing but the night.
You're listening to Children of Song. I'm Brad Newman, and my guests today are the singer-songwriters Trey Smith and Jennifer Fiedler, who make up the duo Smithfield. Let's talk now about that label. I mean, you're working and you get noticed, and all of a sudden it's your big break. It's gonna lead. This is gonna lead to the first album.
So we thought.
Oh
yeah.
Man, you quit your jobs.
Yeah, we did.
No more Postmates.
Cloud nine, man. That was awesome.
And what happened?
Yeah, we were on this label for almost a year. And it was a record development deal. And so we had a year to basically write the record and get ready to go to country radio, which is what every artist in our genre strives to get to. And 3 months before our radio tour was about to start, our label, an investor pulled out of it, and it just completely folded. Mm-hmm. And we had a publishing deal as well with them, so that was kind of our income had went away as well. So that stung. That hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents think? I mean, was it at that moment, did you ever get a call from home and say, hey, listen, guys, it was a great run. Come back home and get a real job and let's,
I don't think I ever did. You know, my dad talked to me shortly after that, and he was just like, this is what they talk about, they say it's a 10-year town, and he's like, you're going to go through a lot of ups and downs, and, you're young, just keep going and keep pushing.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents were the same way. They've always been supportive of me doing music, and, we were fortunate to get a label deal early on, and they just thought, hey, this is too soon for you to give up on your dream. And if you guys did it once, then you're going to do it again. And so Trey and I decided to, instead of move back to Texas, we said we're going to figure out a way to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
How did you do that?
This is actually, we're getting real today. Trey and I had to pull out a loan. And that was probably the scariest thing we had ever done in our lives. We were very young. And I remember shaking, signing that loan paper, but
that's when it really gets down to, like, how much do you really believe in this, and yourself? Because those are the decisions that can either really make you successful or really backfire.
Yeah. So. Well, first we did a Kickstarter campaign, and our fans helped us raise the money to do our record. Mm-hmm. But then you got to think, all right, well, we have this great record and this great piece of music. How do we get it to people? And that's when we took out the loan, and that helped us pay for a music video and helped us pay to get photos done and all the things that artists need from a label. We basically mm-hmm. had to do it ourselves.
And it was a good risk because CMT picks up that video.
That's right. Yeah.
Which led to a lot of things for you.
That was mm-hmm. the start of it all.
Give us a sense. Play me a single from that first album.
Yeah.
And do If I Were You.
Let's do Good Old Days, since that was the first one.
That's true. That was the first one.
It was the first one we put out independently and the first one that CMT picked up. Started it all.
Someday on a throwback Thursday, post pictures of a feel-good Friday. Smiles shining like lights on the highway. Me and you and the crew.
Tonight, tonight. No plans, just going with the flow of it. Laughing loud at the jokes that you don't get. Going out on the town, getting lit. Don't quit.
Tell me, baby, do you
feel it, feel it? The good old days. While the nights we chase down memories. days or the nights we're gonna miss. Every kiss, every risk, every second we get. So get in, don't forget, and I'll never forget the good old days or nights, nights like this.
Wow. I tell you, seeing it live, it just, it's amazing. It sounds good on tape, but it sounds better live. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, give us a sense of that artist. I mean, you struggled, you're going back and forth. Now all of a sudden, you know, people are discovering you. And tell me about that moment, because this is always a fun moment for an artist to describe. When and where you were the first time you heard one of your songs on the radio?
We were in my car. I was still in my PJs because the XM had told us what time it was going to premiere. And we both got in the car and I cried because I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that we were hearing ourselves on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I was able to be in my car and turn up the dial to our song. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a cool moment. I got to watch her cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
This leads to the Opry. Which is, you know, it's a real milestone, right? I mean, yeah. If you're a country mm-hmm. musician, this is it, right? How did you describe it? I've heard you describe playing at the Opry for the first time.
It was pretty surreal for me. And as we talked about earlier, growing up doing all kinds of Opry's in Texas, it was like, I always say it's the Super Bowl of the Opry's because it's the actual Grand Ole Opry. So growing up doing all these shows that were modeled after that, and then to actually do quote-unquote, the real thing, the real mm-hmm. deal. It's very surreal. And, 5 years for 8 minutes. That's what I always say, you know. Five mm-hmm. years of hard work, lots of tears, lots of struggles,
yeah.
and to walk in a circle for 8.5 minutes. But it was one of the best experiences of my life, and, I think Trey would say the same thing.
Yeah. We were talking to Larry Gallen a few weeks before that, and we were telling him we were going to make our debut. And he said, man, he was just like, just don't make the same mistake I did. And I was like, well, what'd you do? And he's like, I could not even tell you any memory of, like, my debut, like, being on stage or anything like that. He's like, I don't feel like I enjoyed it. So he's like, when you go out there, just, like, take your time, breathe, look around, look at the audience, look at the stage, look at the band, like, really take it in, because you're not going to ever remember those 8 minutes if you don't.
Yeah.
It's great advice. Give us a sense of what it was like there that night. Can you play something for us? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could definitely do one. What do you think? If I were you?
If I were you.
Wish I could say that I'm happy, she's happy there in your arms. Wish I could smile at her smiling instead of falling apart. Never thought that I would be jealous until you got what I had. Never would have let it go if I don't have it, I'd want it back. Ooh, I'm acting like I don't care. Ooh, but you've got a good one there. If I were you, I wouldn't let her go easy. Tell her she's beautiful until she believes me. Kiss her like I'm never gonna quit. And love her better than the last guy did. If I were you, I'd be holding her closer. Tell her she's the one I'll never get over. I'd do all the things I didn't do. If I were you.
So you've written like 250 songs together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, you're getting in your 10,000 hours. You know about that rule, right?
Yeah.
You got to put 10,000 hours to become really an expert at it.
We got to be getting close. If we're not already there, we got to be getting close.
So what are you working on next, and how do you fit all of this songwriting on the road? Because that's part of the evils of this business, isn't it? You can't just stay in Nashville at a certain point. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make it, you've got to get out to the people.
Yeah, this past year was actually the first time we had toured very heavily. We did over 120 dates on the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before that, it was Trey and I were just playing writer's rounds in town and writing and these little bitty, you know, rooms, and so to be out to the people and see people sing your songs back on the road has been a really awesome experience. Mm-hmm. However, it's a lot harder to write as much as we were, like you were saying before. So I think we're still trying to figure out that balance and what that's going to look like this year, going on a radio tour and touring and still trying to write. It's been a little difficult.
Yeah, it's you know, but like you said, it's the expectation to always be coming out with something new and what's next. And I will say one of our things we always talk about is, like, that's what we always ask ourselves to, because we don't enjoy the moments enough. We feel like it's like something cool happens and you celebrate it for 2 seconds and then you're like, well, what's next? So we're trying to get better at enjoying those moments more and just taking them for what they are and worrying about what's next after we celebrate.
Yeah.
But we definitely still ask ourselves that question a lot, and we've been working on some new music, and we're really excited about it. It's kind of an evolution of what we do, but it still stays true to those harmonies and that blend that we try to accentuate in everything we sing.
Yeah.
2018 is going to be the second album, right? We're going to have something mm-hmm. by the
Absolutely.
Fall?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Can we get a taste of something new that you're working on that's it's yeah. a little more finished than other things?
Yeah. Let's do it. We're going to do a song called Still a Few, and why we love this song so much is feel like there's a lot of crazy things going on in our world right now, and we think people need a reminder that there's still good people doing good things every day. So that's the inspiration for Still a Few. It might seem old-fashioned, swinging on this porch and staring at a million stars most people just ignore. And we scrape out a living, working dawn till dusk. And sometimes it feels like this old world has forgotten folks like us. There's still a few cowboys around, still a few train whistle towns, still a few churches with steeples full of good God-fearing people. There's still a few hearts running wild, loving like it's going out of style. Oh, there ain't too many left like me and you, but there's still a few.
Great message there.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. You know, right now, Hey Whiskey is the song everybody's talking about.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, this is an interesting song. I want to hear a little bit about this, and then I want to close up our, you know, this time with you hearing that song. But you came up with the original lyric, isn't that right, Jennifer?
I did, and, you know, that doesn't always happen. You know, every day is different. Sometimes Trey has the title, sometimes I do. But this particular song I had written down in my phone, and it was You Only Miss Me After Whiskey. And I had a whole different melody. It was like, you only miss me after whiskey, you only want me when I'm gone. And I brought it in, and I was like, took it to the boys and our buddies Adam and Casey, and they all shot it down. They're like, we don't need another song in country music about whiskey, like, it's been done before so many times. And, you know, and I'm very stubborn, and I thought,
No, I don't believe that.
I was like, let's challenge ourselves to write it differently then, in a way that nobody's ever heard before. And Trey started to play the melody that you hear on the guitar, and it kind of convinced the boys a little bit, I think, once they heard the melody. They're like, okay, well, there's something there. And our co-writer said, well, what if you heard her talk to the actual bottle of whiskey? Like, she's not actually mad at the guy. She's mad at the substance. And you're like, we thought, well, that would be a really cool angle. And so if you didn't know the title of the song and you just heard the first verse, you would think, oh, this guy's cheating on this girl. And it's really cool when it hits that chorus, you realize the twist. And I think what's so cool about this is it was a true team effort that day. We all challenged ourselves to write something different that you'd never heard before. And I think we did a really good job.
I think so, too.
I'm really proud of this song. Shall we?
Shall we?
Mm-hmm. can tell he's been with you on nights like this. And when you come on strong, he just can't resist. And you don't know all the hell that you put me through. And he can't let me go when he's holding you. Hey, whiskey, why you gotta make him miss me? Why does he only call me up when he throws you down? Wanting me more with every round. Hey, bourbon, why you gotta leave him burning? And feeling that old flame he used to have when he was with me. Hey, whiskey.
Trey Smith, Jennifer Fiedler, they are Smithfield. Look out for them. Come into a venue near you. They're really special people. We hope the best for you guys. Thanks so much for stopping by. This was so much fun. I can't tell you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, we want to welcome you to the B-side, Stories from the Road. Here's a chance for us to tell one last story and have a little fun. As we were winding up this episode, Trey told us a fun story about trying to get his band from Michigan out to Bishop, California for a gig they were having the very next day. As you'll see, nothing seems to ever go as planned.
So we had to catch these late flights. So our band went ahead of us and they were going to try to catch some flights, and they left, but then they got stuck in like Denver, and we had a direct flight, so we got straight to California. So at one point in time, like, I think every single piece of our band was in a different city in the entire country. So, like, yeah. Our band was literally spread out all over the country trying to all get to California. And they had to, like, sleep on the floor in the Denver airport and, like, all this stuff. And then get there and drive, like, 4 hours to the venue after all of that. And we're just, like, totally rested. We're good. We got straight there, you know, got our coffees and stuff. And they pull up just looking like the most run-down, like, worst experience of your life kind of people. And we're like, all right, guys, now we got to play a 90-minute set. But props to them, because they took it like champs. Like, they rocked the show. But I can laugh about it now. They would probably hate me for saying it, because they had to actually live through it. But it's funny now. At the time, we were like, well, crap, we don't have our band. But it was an interesting hard knock story for us on the road.
What I love is hearing young artists like yourselves is you can see how much time you put into it. I mean, you know, just because the chops are so there. I mean, especially, I mean, with Hey Whiskey, and it's like, wow. I mean, you're just blowing us away. So props to you for doing the work, because it's there. I mean, it shows. And it does allow you to go through a terrible thing. I know that you didn't go through it, but had it been reversed and the band was there, yeah, you would have been able to get through it too.
I like to think so.
We've been through a lot, so.
It's been, yeah.
But when you do something that you love, it makes it all those things worth it.
Yeah.
And the dream, keeping the dream alive.
We always talk about, like, you know, what you see on stage is like 10% of it. And the other 90% is the flights that, you know, get canceled, and the nights you're staying up, you know, trying to write something, or the times you're just doing a little meticulous work or whatever it is.
The
days you lose a record deal.
The days you sign a loan.
I mean, it's all that's the 90%. What you see on stage and hear on the radio, that's the 10%. But it's worth, all the 90% is worth that 10%.
Yeah. It makes you appreciate it a whole lot more. So, yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Coming up next week, Alyssa Bonagura joins us with her famous parents, Kathy Bailey and Mike Bonagura, from the legendary band Bailey and the Boys. It's a fun trip down memory lane with great stories, including a gem about the time Kathy took Alyssa out on tour when she was just a few weeks old. Joining me on this next one is multi-platinum artist Gunnar Nelson. It's the podcast everyone is talking about, Children of Song, the audio series that combines live music with great storytelling. Till next time, I'm Brad Newman. Thanks for listening.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to Fox News podcast shows ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or follow wherever you get your podcasts.